Sonya's been doing it continuously. She's like a very strong adventurer. She's just nonstop. So I'll let her explain her earlier part. But before that, we met her in Prince Rupert. Mikey and I had done from Victoria up to Prince Rupert. And so at Prince Rupert, we were in an internet cafe saying goodbye to our friends and family and telling them we'll be communicating by the little spot transmitter. And when we were there, we were at an internet cafe. We met Sonya. And so her partner ended up going home, so she's joined our trip. And so Mikey and I are finishing the rest of the Inside Passage up to Glacier Bay.
And you have been paddling since when? When did you leave Prince Rupert?
I think we left on the 25th of July.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah.
it's been pretty quick then.
Well, actually, that's kind of slow
Is it?
because every Alaska town we go to, the people are really nice and they
Stop
talk
for
us
3 days.
into stopping for another beer. So,
Okay.
yeah.
You're gonna spend another 2 weeks to get up to Glacier Bay, or how long does that take? Or...
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that. I think Sonia's planning on headed towards Skagway.
Yeah, at this point I'm planning on Skagway still. I'm not quite sure. It might stop earlier. Who knows what's gonna happen.
Well, what's the trip been like? Has it been enjoyable, difficult? Tell about some of the highs and lows. Mikey.
No, the trip is great. The weather is fantastic. We love rain, so it's great. Except today it's sunny, so.
You love the rain.
Yeah, we love the rain. That's why we came here.
You were camping out on the beaches, and what are you
Yeah.
doing?
Yeah, basically, I've got a hammock now, so I have to go in the woods a bit, which I didn't know, but they don't really do that often. They're usually beach campers, which I, up until very recently, have been doing that. And then I met a Canadian guy that I was paddling with for a bit, because my trip started in Seattle. So I've been paddling since June 10th from Seattle, and I'm now up here. Thankfully, I made it to Alaska. And switched out in Ketchikan with a nice young gentleman, my three-person tent for a hammock. So they've been doing the beach camping, and I sling up my hammock between two trees and pray there aren't bears.
Well, what are your impressions from the trip? What have you seen? What has impressed you, and what have you been surprised by?
The people have really impressed me. I can't believe how friendly the people are in Southeast Alaska. I mean, it's just the friendliest group of people I've ever met.
The cultural immersion of it all has been an incredible part. And for me, it's been unlike any other trip. I know these guys have done separately. They did the first part of the Inside Passage. They paddled Baja earlier this year. So they're kind of used to doing this thing where you like meet people, stay for a few days. I just rode across the Atlantic and biked from Mexico to Seattle before getting here. And so I really haven't had the time to do as much immersion, and the stuff that you do when you're biking is so different from being backcountry with these smaller towns that that's really been one of the most fantastic parts is meeting people on docks, having them talk to you about what goes on in the small towns, eating food with them, and just talking.
And just to clarify, Sonia means ROWED, not WODE, the Atlantic.
Right.
She rode the Atlantic.
Road, yeah.
Rode in what? In a rowboat or what?
Yeah, it was sculling style rowing in
Okay.
an ocean rowing vessel.
So this is a piece of cake for you then.
No, this
No?
is every. No, not at all. And people say that, oh, well, this must be harder than the Atlantic, or this must be easier. And every venture that you do is just so different, and they're all equally very
Challenge,
hard.
yeah.
I'm sure on this one, though, you like that you can at least sleep because, from what she's told us before, they were doing 2 hour shifts and they only get to sleep like 2 hours at a time. That's not enough for me.
Well.
Yeah, that was rough. Being on land, much better, but 34 mile a day, really hard in a kayak.
How does this part of the trip compare to the section from Victoria up to Rupert?
There's a lot more towns.
Yeah.
For one, it's much more populated than once you leave the north coast of Vancouver Island and go across from Port Hardy. There's not a lot of people there, so here definitely has more towns. I guess that might sound surprising because I know the towns here are small, but down there's just nothing. So.
And what was it like crossing some of the big open ocean stretches?
That gets scary quick
Does it?
because in a kayak you're only doing, if you're doing 3 knots an hour, you're doing great. And so if you have a big piece of water, then it can be really scary because it can be really nice when you leave the safety of land, but by the time you're in the middle, who knows, you know, I mean, you can account for the tides and the currents, but the weather can go insane. And our main problem is when you have wind over current, then it really stacks the waves up and it's not a nice thing in a small boat.
It's the oh crap zone.
Yeah. Have you had a following sea for this trip, or has it been mixed, or what?
It's been really mixed for me, but I started in a different season, basically, being on this for 2 months. Coming up the coast, it was a lot of northwest winds, things that you just, it wouldn't be worth it to traverse because you go a mile an hour. So, but since reaching Alaska, the weather's been a lot better, I personally think. I don't know.
Obviously, you know, everybody listening probably knows that when it's sprinkling, there's a southeast wind, but that's pretty good for us because that means the wind's at our back. So we don't mind just sitting there in the rain. We're pretty used to the rain at this point.
This nice weather means northerlies at the moment anyway.
Yes.
So.
And I'm from Florida, and I'm getting a sunburn here. You know, like, this is kind of crazy how many days of sun that we've had since being here and how intense the sun is when it does come out.
We just went to the grocery store and people were asking Mikey if he's from California because he's so tan.
You look a little Californian.
Thank you.
And what are your impressions coming from Poland and doing this trip?
What impressions? Oh, I love it. It's great. It's my favorite part of the world. So I was in Alaska before, years ago, but I was in Homer and I was climbing Denali.
Okay.
So, but that was years ago, and this part of Alaska is first time for me, so I really love it. I love the people, I love the everything, the weather, and it's great.
And this part is with the mountains, Leconte Bay,
yeah,
and all the mountains
just,
in the background.
Oh, icebergs just, floating?
Yeah, I've never paddled with icebergs before.
So many great mountains here to climb. I would love to do that one day.
Are there scary stories from the trip? Any times you got in trouble or lost? Or?
Yeah, we get in trouble about every town we go
do
to.
You?
No, not really.
At the bar? Or?
Well, I mean, we haven't had any trouble with the law, but the people are very friendly, and you guys have that bell that everybody keeps ringing, and boy, you just... It's tough to get out of that bar.
That's a good time to be around when that's ringing, though.
I agree.
Especially fish openings, but yeah.
I think I've had a more, what's the word, spotted kayaking past than these guys have had. Maybe that's just due to my lack of caution. I don't know. I think I'm generally cautious, but I got two boats sponsored. So I really just didn't want to go alone into bear territory or
which is
territory.
Smart. Yes.
And I filled the boat whenever I could, and finally I got to Ketchikan and I couldn't fill it, but luckily I had met these guys paddling across the bay. Like, we caught up to each other just north of Tongass Island. But prior to this, flipping in like 4 foot standing waves with 50 foot whirlpools behind you and a 3 knot current.
Yikes.
It's near rocks, just scary.
This is
stuff.
In British Columbia, I imagine.
This
somewhere.
Is in BC, crossing over the border from Canada and also in the middle of BC. And north, we were paddling with these guys one day with my newest partner from Canada. And they stopped because the water was getting sketchy enough. So they said, okay, this isn't safe anymore. We were behind them because they have these awesome sails that I... now can say I also have one of.
They are awesome sails. Michael Viganowski designs.
They're Michael Viganowski designs. They're pretty amazing and easy to make. I'm sure he'll sell the design after a while. But they were so far ahead of us, we couldn't see them anymore, and we were going around this one point. And you just can't tell unless you have local knowledge how to navigate waters. Sometimes you want to move closer to the rocks, and sometimes you want to be really far away from them. And in this case, we were supposed to be close to the rocks to avoid the rip currents, but we were out in them. And my partner flipped in these bigger waves. And it took us a while to pump out the boat, but there's a lot of fishermen around this season, which is great. And they came over and kind of told us local knowledge what we should do, and we pulled over for a bit and let the waves pass, but... yeah, it's kind of scary when you're in the moment and you don't know how to handle it. I blog about it.
All right. You just came from Wrangell in this last leg and came up. Did you come up Dry Straits?
Dry Straits.
I just blogged about that. That was such a nightmare. I was basically lost in the muck for 3.5 hours.
So you came up at low tide then?
Yes, they made it through.
Okay.
I thought they were going to the cabin, so I started to wade towards Farm Island and yank my boat there for about 2.5 hours. And then I gave up because I couldn't even see where this cabin could be and left.
Mikey and I are learning that we're bad communicators with other people because we've kayaked together for a long time in a lot of places, and so all we have to do is kind of look at each other. But I forget that we have somebody who doesn't understand our facial expression language, and so we actually have to use words. So I've got to remember to communicate better.
Oh, it's fine. Things like that happen. But for me, I'm continuing to do other things. I'll probably row the Pacific pretty soon. And if people want to catch up, I've been posting updates and pictures from what the three of us have been doing on Facebook at Epoch Expeditions, which is E-P-O-C-H again, and on my blog, teamepoch.org. So if people locally get the chance, they could go like it. I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, well, check it out. Yeah, so you're out for these long stretches just paddling. Is there a lot of talking in general, or are you quiet for long stretches? What happens?
No, it's trying to stay as far as possible.
We're definitely quiet.
Yeah.
It's kind of a solo thing because, you know, you're in your own boat, so all you can do is just sit there and keep paddling. Mm-hmm. So
that's totally different, though. This is a new experience because up until now, yeah, there'd be days that we talked and days that we didn't. More so with my second partner, we talked all day long, every day, generally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd have like 4 hours where we didn't talk. But now, and we'd get to land and then we'd kind of do our separate thing. And then we'd have like a communal dinner where we'd talk more. Mm-hmm. And then wake up and decide what we were going to do that next day. But now it's like very solo style, which is an interesting new thing. I like experiencing new ways to be on an expedition.
If I was going to leave everybody in this region with one idea, I've kayaked in a lot of places, and you guys live in a place that is, I mean, it is one of the best places for kayaking in the world, so go kayaking.
So that leads me to think, what's, if a town's trying to market itself to that, what would you suggest to bring more people like yourselves into a town like Petersburg?
Well, I guess
we're kind of strange ones, I don't know.
Everybody who's doing what we're doing is going to stop them. Petersburg, I mean, I would think. I mean, it's a beautiful town. You have to resupply. You need a beer, so you're going to stop. The question for me has just been, when's kayaking really going to blow up? Because, you know, I've seen long-distance hiking on the long-distance trails blow up, but I think a lot of people just don't realize that they can do this sport, and it's really not that expensive.
Long-distance cycling is very
long-distance
popular.
Long-distance cycling. Mm-hmm. There's people who are starting...
long-distance kayaking, not yet.
There's people who are starting in, you know, Mikey and I have traveled in South America. If you go down
to
the tip of...
Yeah, there is thousands of people doing every year Alaska Ushuaia trip on
the tip of Argentina and Patagonia is a town called Ushuaia, and they start off maybe in Barrow, and they bicycle all the way down to Ushuaia.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a perception that it's a little bit more dangerous than those other things you talk about. You're a little bit more out there. There's not a safety net for
that's
you.
True.
Well, you can always set your bicycle down to start walking, but you can't
With kayaking,
you can't set the kayak down and get out.
You one thing that I think would be really important, and it's something that I think bikers and hikers do too, that you go out of your way to look for. If you see in a guidebook, this town is incredibly friendly, you know, I got the opportunity to stay here, you know, thank you, public radio station, for putting us up. But it's a totally new thing, offering discounts and being kind of on that marine trail is an important thing for kayakers, I think. Mm-hmm. So maybe doing something along those lines where you just, especially for long distance ones, because you're having to spend more money tying up your boat on sleeping accommodations, food, etc. It's nice to say, you're kayaking, you get a discount here. So that's like just a nice thing.
Well, it might be a new thing you've started here with coming to stay at the public radio station.
Sorry.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that on air.
No, that's fine. All you have to do is do an interview, and then you're
going
to stay at the station. That's
one
all
per night.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.